Afternoon, Your Honor, Counsel.
Good afternoon.
I'm not going to really go over a lot of the factual details. It's a fairly short marriage. I think the facts are laid out in the briefs. I also know that you know the law, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. I just want to draw some attention to some things that I think the court missed. One of those is the value of capital. And primarily, two things that I think are very important that the court understands. And you can see Mr. Ott, who was the expert witness, he's called to testify, runs a sale bar. There are what's called bred cattle. Bred cattle does not mean that they're guaranteed pregnant. It means that they've been exposed either by artificial insemination or by being ran with a bull. So they are bred cattle until they're determined to be open. By changing the definition and trying to claim that they're open until there is a ultrasound to show that they're pregnant, you reduce the value of the cattle immensely. In the same way, in the beginning there were cow-calf pairs, and they're actually valued, they tried to value them as open cows and calves instead of cow-calf pairs, again, with the same result that you lower the value. So I think it's important, one of the mistakes, errors that I think the court made was in understanding the value. Second issue that I'd like to talk just briefly is the equity of Mr. Damel in the ranch herd. It's true that Ms. Damel had the ranch herd, but it's also true that Mr. Damel brought a significant amount of money into the marriage. And when he came in, he paid an operating note that was covered by the cattle. He paid a credit card bill. During the first 2 years of marriage, he paid all the expenses that had normally been carried in an operating note. It's our position that all of the payment of those expenses would have had to be paid from the sale of the cattle. And as a result, it's the same as if he was buying an interest in the cattle. Now, there's no agreement to that, I understand, but it's the idea that if you take Mrs. Damel's net worth, her net worth is the value of her assets less the debts, when he comes in and he pays off those debts, it should be treated as if he's buying an interest in the cattle. In addition to that, he also bought cattle 10 head that were branded, tagged, everything exactly the same as all the other cattle that the couple had. And yet, in the division of property, Mr. Damel does not receive any interest, didn't receive any of his property that he paid back. He doesn't receive any interest in the cattle. He receives virtually nothing. And so, as we did the calculations, basically there's $69,700 is what I believe the value of Mrs. Damel's herd was when they got married. Mr. Damel paid about 10.5 on an operating note, $5,000 on a credit card bill, purchased the 10 heifers. That's a total of $31,500. That's almost half of what the value of the whole herd is. In addition, he continued to work in town, made good money, paid the expenses for the 2 years, but he's not received any credit for that. He also provided some labor during weekends and evenings and those kind of things, but that's considered, in their brief at least, it's considered that he didn't do enough or he didn't work enough or whatever to have some interest. And I don't think this court has ever said that in a ranching situation, if you flip the parties, if a wife is working in town or she's staying home raising kids, that somehow she doesn't get anything in the cattle because she wasn't actively engaged in the day-to-day operations.
Counsel, as I understand, at the end of this relationship, Ryan received from Jacqueline's parents a check for $5,400 for services that he had provided to the marriage, but he had not cashed that. Is that correct?
It's a little more than that, Your Honor. Basically what had happened, they had an agreement that if Mr. and Mrs. Damel did certain things, they would have the right to purchase calves. They actually were leasing calves, they'd get the calves. And so that was a response to, of course, part of that was he had to continue to provide labor. But that's a separate entity. That was them having a contract with the parents. The parents then said, so when Mr. Damel tried to get a hold of him and say, I know I owe something to make this work, they said, no, that deal's removed, but we'll give you a little something. But that was never something he agreed to. He left a $60,000 job. He wasn't intending to go to work for minimum wage. That wasn't part of the deal. But that was really an agreement between the Wilsons, Mr. and Mrs. Wilson, Jacqueline's parents, and Jacqueline and Ryan.
But isn't it the same work we're talking about that he would have been doing that he now contends should have given him an interest in the cattle?
No. No, I don't believe that is true. Because they had their cattle, and the Wilsons had their cattle, Damels had their own cattle, both in the ranch herd, and probably the ranch herd would be the same, maybe.
They were all together, the ranch herd.
Probably the ranch herd, but I don't think the recipient counts were. I think that was a separate deal the last year.
So what do you think Ryan left the marriage with?
What did he leave the marriage with? Well, if you get the judges, from what I understand the judge intended, he was supposed to get $25,000 from the recipient counts. He was supposed to get set off to him the $28,000 something for the house. However, there's no money there because that money was gone. I don't know how you set off something that's not there. In their brief,
let's back up. Which part are you talking about? $28,000 in the house?
Right. That money was applied to a debt. So essentially, he pays the debt twice. He pays it with his money, premarital money, and then it's set off against the value of the cattle. It appears to me, anyway, from the court, as I try to understand the calculations. So no, I don't think that money is the same money, and it's certainly not what he had agreed to. So what did he come out with? He came out with, I believe, the $25,000 that the court ordered money judgment. I think the court intended that he was to get $28,000, but the plaintiff in their brief alleged that he's not to get any of that, that was gone. He doesn't get any of his cattle. He doesn't get any of the benefit of the calves that were born to the recipient cows. Even though he owned an investment, he had the faith he started that business. And I guess my position would be I don't think this court has ever ruled that one partner can exclude another and then say, oh, and you forfeit all of the assets that you've contributed.
Well, he also gets the $5,100. That's another asset that he's got coming out with.
Well, but it wasn't ever part of the marriage. It's not part of this. I mean, it's not part
money
of
that he earned during the marriage, so why wouldn't it be marital property?
It was an attempt to pay off.
It's money that he earned during the marriage. Why wouldn't that be marital property?
Well, even if it is,
he's getting it. So that's, that may not be enough. I'm not saying that that's
the decision. Well, but it's not even included anywhere in the court said that the lease cattle were not a part of this. And that was a payment in exchange for the lease cattle. I see it differently, but I understand where you're coming from.
Okay. So the question then becomes as to the other cattle and the calves, whether or not he's entitled to an interest in that besides the money that he's received.
Sure. I still disagree, but I understand your position. I don't want to waste a lot of time on it. It's not enough money. The thing is, there's recipient calves. We know what the calves are going to sell for because they're already sold. But he didn't get, even though he was part of the business, he helped set up the business, he helped fund the business, he helped in the part of the insemination of the cattle. He's now asked to leave. He leaves, and he gets nothing out of any of the calves that are born. He gets part of the value of the cows, but he's paid expenses from his earnings, from his the sale of the cattle, and she's even taken income for herself as part of the payment of those. When you look at the itemization, she has wages to herself that Ryan's paying. Yeah, I think he deserves interest in the cattle. Even if you take that away, I guess the other side is, he should be entitled to half of the increased value of the ranch herd. It went from less than $70,000 to $175,000. He should have been entitled to half of that. That was primarily as a result of value of cattle. It had nothing to do with the work or the things that just happened to be market values. I think he should have been entitled to that. I also just want to make, because it doesn't make a lot of difference, but he buys the wedding ring, gives to her, and then he gets it back and he has to pay for it again. That just seems unfair. So I guess I think when you look at the brief that there are several issues, values of trucks that were done, other things, but basically there should be an equitable division, and both of them were actively putting assets into this, these businesses.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. May it please the court, counsel. I'm Leslie Shaver, and I'm from Simmons Olson Law Firm, and I'm here on behalf of the appellee, Jacqueline Wilson. Today, the court must decide whether there was an abuse of discretion by the trial court, and in dividing the marital estate and in tracing the and setting aside the premarital property. The ultimate test.
The first question was to try to figure out which property is marital and which is non-marital.
Yes, I may have mixed up the order, but yes, those are essentially the issues. And I think premarital property is probably the main issue here that ultimately kind of determines the rest of those issues.
Does it come down to whether or not her cattle should be premarital property and she's entitled to them all, or whether there's part of that or all of it is marital property and so you're entitled to it?
Yes, that is.
Share, maybe that's not what boils down to.
Well, yeah, that's probably the most substantially financially the issue in front of us today. And I would argue that her ranch herd. She has been building this herd since the age of 8. She has worked hard on this herd before she was married. She worked hard on this herd while she was married, and she's worked hard on the herd since. And we're talking about a 2.5-year marriage. She had 48 cows at the time that they were married. She provided an inventory in the exhibits there, and the individual cows that are listed out by their identification numbers. There's an extensive record-keeping process here on the ranch. She's able to identify those 48 cows as her premarital property when she enters the marriage. Over the course of the marriage, she's working hard on these, and in cases where that has come before the court before, where we're dealing with what constitutes a significant contribution, typically in those cases, we're talking about marriages of 27, 23 years. You know, Chris B. Crisp, the case that the appellant relies on, that was a 27-year marriage, and Tyler B. Tyler, even an 11-year marriage. We're talking about a 2.5-year marriage here, and he contributed his income went into a joint account that the parties lived off of, and essentially that's what happens during a marriage. His income went into a joint account, her income went into a joint account. As part of her income, it provided them with a place to live. I don't think he contributed substantially enough to transform her entire premarital herd into a marital asset.
Didn't some of them become marital assets? The animals that were purchased during the marriage, for example.
Well, animals that were, so the premarital herd is those initial 48 cows. I think that anything, you know, from the point at which they're married, the increase in that is premarital. I think the trial court determined that those calves that were born from her premarital herd that had been already inseminated and were growing, they were born just after the marriage, and then those cows, I think some were even born before the marriage, and then there were calves that were born during the marriage that had been from a time where she had done the work on those prior to them being married. And the court determined that those were not entitled to be set aside as premarital property. And I argue that his premarital cash, the court properly treated those things the same way. His premarital cash and the contributions that he came into the marriage with, those part of it was commingled into a joint account, which they used to pay their expenses on, wedding expenses, living expenses. Then there was part of those funds that paid for part of the jaw surgery that Jacqueline had during the marriage. And the surgery was necessary for her in order to be able to continue the very intense physical labor that she does on the ranch. His premarital funds are gone. They can't be traced to any asset that exists today. And
that's the $28,000.
The $28,000 for the house? Well, I think the court determined that that was a set-aside. So in his decree, you see that marital assets that are divvied up to Ryan, I think, are about $28,000, if you look there. And the set aside then reduces his marital assets down to about, I think, $1,400. Without, I mean, the appellant argues that, you know, that money isn't there, it's not there to be set aside. However, without that set aside, I mean, we're going to be, it just brings it back up to $28,000. So I think he gets the credit of it in reducing his marital assets to the $1,400.
Which then increases the money investment that your client was required to pay.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, the tracing of her premarital, that has been before, I think it was this court in the Schaefer case, that dealt with this exact issue in tracing those and setting aside those premarital cows. In that case, the husband had worked, he had a premarital herd, he continuously worked on the herd during the marriage. He reinvested proceeds of the sale of cattle into the marriage, and I'd say that's almost exactly what we have here that has happened. Jacqueline created this premarital herd prior to marriage, she continuously worked on the herd during the marriage, and I think she was able to identify and set aside and trace those premarital cows in a way that in this case is almost right in line with the Schaefer case that the court set aside that premarital herd. The premarital assets that aren't cattle can't be treated that way because of the disposable nature of a cow versus cash. And I think that the trial court properly decided that issue. When it comes to the recipient cow program, Mr. Dummel, was, by the time that these cows were born in late 2014, he was long gone. The parties had been separated. The cows sold for, I think, $50,000, and that money was applied toward the party's debts. I think the appellant never really mentions the fact that these parties had about $130,000 worth of debt, and the $50,000 that were from the sale of those cows, that Flying Diamond Genetics, went toward bills that had accumulated. One was a substantial paying bill. And then it went down to pay the note. And so there isn't just a $50,000 pile of cash that's sitting somewhere that can be returned. And it's been reinvested into the business. And he stresses so heavily that, you know, it's a thriving business. But that success of this business is completely dependent upon Ms. Wilson's physical labor, her marketing attempts, her networking attempts, and it could just as easily fail as it could succeed.
And the court did treat that as a marital asset, didn't it?
Yes, it did. And the value of the cattle that belonged to that program, those are considered in the marital provision as well. And he received the benefit of the cattle, not necessarily the Flying Diamond Genetics cow, because that was relatively recent, just prior to their separation, but the ranch herd, he received the benefit of these cattle for premarital cattle that were part of that herd. He received the benefit of that during their marriage, the income from the sale of those cattle, and in the debt reduction as well. So he has received the benefit of these cattle in the debt reduction. He doesn't see it. He apparently thinks that there's just a huge amount of assets with no debt behind those as well. These parties had some substantial debt.
Counsel, it's my understanding that there was still debt remaining.
Yes.
And all the debt was to your client.
Yes, she has all the debt. Ryan, Mr. Dummel leaves the marriage completely debt-free with essentially $25,000, and he gets to prance away with no debt, whereas this business that Ms. Wilson had, you know, worked very hard on for years, it could be potentially successful, but it could also fail, and she's also left with all of the parties' debt.
What's your position on the $5,400 check that was given to her?
I agree that should be considered part of the marital property that he, and it, whether or not he cashed it, he probably should have cashed it. It's his income. It was income that he earned for his work on the ranch from the time that he started, I believe April 1st, until the time that he left in late June. He was going to be paid by Ms. Wilson's parents the same way that she was paid and the same way that they would pay any other worker that works on their ranch. And so that was his payment for his wages during that time period. And
so in effect, he would actually come out with approximately $30,000.
Yes, I agree. I agree. I think that the trial court did not abuse its discretion here. It provided a decree, a supplemental order. It took the court took nearly a month to create a thoughtful supplemental order that explains the reasoning behind the decisions, and I would ask that you affirm the decision of the trial court. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Miller's out of time?
Correct.
Thank you, counsel. You are both excused, and the case is submitted. Thank you for appearing before us today. Next case is In Re Estate of Barker. Before we begin, do the appellees have an agreement on how the time is going to be divided?
Mr. Junior, well, we got the argument.
Completely?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. May it please the court,